It rained a little bit last night. It's very moist outside.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It's moist. It's very moist.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, and I'm very moist. That's not necessary. You stop it right now. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. How you doing? Good to be with you. You are very special to me in a way that I can't describe. And I am very moist. It's good to be moist. You don't want to be dehydrated. Although being moist is not the opposite of being dehydrated, I don't believe. Are you drinking enough water? Oh yeah, I'm moist. Moist. Sounds like a Jewish name, doesn't it? Hey, Edna, how you doing? And how's Moist? Is he good? Is he wonderful? I like Moist. He's a nice man.
You're probably saying to yourself, what is this program about? I've heard of this Ron Van Dam show all over this internet thing, this International Internet Corporation of America, LLC, but I don't understand what he does. Well, you know what? That's the idea. I don't understand what to do either. This is kind of an observational commentary show. Yeah, I talk politics sometimes when it frosts my ass enough to do it. See, my ass has to be frosted, like a cake, like a moist cake.
Oh, moist. Try a little bit more of the cake, moist. It's very moist, moist.
That's what I do. Sometimes I'll expound upon a childhood experience to make myself feel older at my own expense, because that's what I do. Sometimes I won't. Basically, we interview people on this program, people who have lifestyle information. I found out more about diseases on this show than I have on any other program. Even Dr. Oz or the doctors. We talk a lot about ailments, things, and things like that. And social situations, ways to help you out socially. We do all that stuff on this show. But basically, the show is just obnoxious commentary from a crotchety, not too old, but yet seasoned man named Ron Van Dam. A fine, fine gentleman. I know him very, very well. Boy, do I know him. That's what this show is about. I do this every single weekday, unless I don't feel like it, which I guess wouldn't be every single weekday. You're just going to have to go to this site every day and check out, see if there's a new one there. There usually will be. Sometimes not. And if there's not, it's because I had to take a shower and that consumed most of my day. Oh, when I take a shower, I clean very well. I have like 72 implements in my shower stall, and I use all of them. I use some even have batteries. And I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what it meant. I think it was an attempt to make a lighthearted joke at something that wasn't even funny or had no substance whatsoever. That happens every once in a while when you just keep talking and talking and talking and talking. The nice thing is you don't have to talk. I'm talking. I'm your puppet. You just sit there and eat a sandwich, if you would. And don't talk. Don't say anything.
Please be quiet. 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 please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Okay, now shut up. I have a vast intolerance for just about everything. And I'm not talking about food intolerances, I'm talking about life intolerances. I have a great intolerance for everything. For dogs, dogs that bark. I don't like dogs that bark. I love dogs.
Aww.
But I don't like dogs that bark. They annoy me. Yeah, I know. Yeah. They do annoy me. And I don't like politicians that are total morons, misogynistic, bigoted assholes. And that goes for Trump as well. Anyway, I never liked people that looked orange. I've known people that looked orange. My mother was orange. It's like saying my mother was black, but orange was the new black. That's not what I'm talking about. And I don't even know what that means. I never watched that show, and I don't even know. I understand what being black is like, even though I am not. I do understand it. But I don't understand what being orange is about, and I don't understand how that correlates to being black. I don't even know if that's a skin color situation or whether someone's colorblind. And I don't have no idea. Those are the colors of Halloween. I never watch the show. I don't want to watch it. I don't, because I don't understand it. I just don't. I come up with a title that makes some sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. Not to me, at least, because I have this great intolerance. Speaking of Halloween, oh my God. Have you noticed? Do this for me. Not right now, but do this for me. Go into just about any store, like a Walmart or a Walgreens, anything with wall in it. Go into a store, any store, and you will see an entire section already for Halloween stuff, Halloween costumes, Halloween decorations. And this is, when I'm saying this to you, this is not new. This has been going on for weeks now. Now, this show is being done, middle to end of August here. Halloween, as I understand it by the bylaws of the Confederacy, Halloween occurs on the last day possible in October. I'm not talking about the middle of October. I'm not talking about the end. I'm saying the last possible minute of October is when Halloween is. It's October 31st, unless they've changed it. Unless I was like in a bathroom and they said, "All right, let's change it while he's in there. He'll be in there a while. We got time to change the date of Halloween." Now, I think it's the last day of October. And then a few days later, or maybe even the next day, you got your time clock thing. You fall back. You lose an hour, which is fine. I'm not doing anything with the hour anyway these days, so fine. Take an hour away from me. I don't care anymore. I don't even care anymore. They do it while you're sleeping. Have you noticed that? They don't take the hour away in the middle of the daytime, which would be very cool. Like, it's 4 o'clock. I got another hour here at work. Guess what? No, we're changing the time. It's 5 o'clock. Go home. Hey, that would be exciting. That would be wonderful. That's when you spring forward in the spring. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, I got another hour at this crazy, stupid job. It's driving me crazy. Oh, time change, 5 o'clock, bye, I'm gone. That would be a wonderful thing. But they do it in the middle of the night when you're sleeping, where it doesn't even make any difference. Unless you get up in the middle of the night to pee, like I do every once in a while, I can get up and start to take a pee, and by the time I'm finished, it's an hour later. And it's like, whoa, that was like a long pee that I did. That took an hour? Whew, I must have been bloated. I must have had some major water weight gain. Whole hour to pee. How can I stand up in front of a toilet for so long? Ron, you're not supposed to stand up. You're supposed to sit down. If you're in a heterosexual relationship, a man and a woman, you already know, you have to live with the person, either be married or live with the person, then you have to know that the woman at some juncture during that relationship must have said to the man, why do you pee standing up? Can't you sit down like I do? Why must you stand up and urinate? It gets all over the toilet seat, all over the floor. And that's not the end of the conversation. In every single relationship, the man retorts with the same response. And that is, let's say it all together, guys. Hey, I have good aim. Hey, I have good aim. Never have splashed on the seat, on the rim, on the floor. I could hit that bowl from 40 feet away, honey. I'm that good. That's a man's real prowess, you know. It's like, no, I don't have a great job. I'm not a wonderful husband. I'm not a great father. But I can hit a bowl from 40 feet away. Don't you ever mess with that fact. That is the case. No one can argue it with me. You can't, you don't ever question a guy on his ability to do that. Because you just don't. Anyway, I have a Facebook page, and I don't know why. I'll tell you a quick story, which you probably are not interested in, but I'm assuming that you're not interested in anything, actually. Here's a quick little story for you that this happened yesterday.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
This could go on forever. All right, it's a funny story. The funny story has to do with social media. Do you know why I am so turned off by social media? And I'm serious about this. I've always hated social media. It's a fictitious, stupid encounter between people that either know each other, probably don't know each other. All it is a superficial, general way of pissing off somebody else, of expressing your ideas, which is obviously going to rile somebody else up. And if this society is an angry society, it's because of social media. Social media didn't bring us all closer together. No, it did not. Maybe for cancer patients or something like, oh no, okay, oh look, oh she has the same problem, oh he has the same problem as I do, now I feel connected. That's good, that's nice, if you want to feel connected to somebody. But that's the only way that social media is any good whatsoever. Basically, it's just a venting tool for pissed off people to piss off other people. I have said this so many times, and I'm blue in the face. I am a member of Blue Man Group, and here is the problem. When I was growing up, there was no social media. Social media, I don't even understand what that means, people said. I don't even know what that is because it wasn't invented, didn't exist. When I was growing up, as a young little teeter-totter, we didn't have social media. We were left alone. We went and lived our lives. If we had a difference of opinion and we bumped into somebody that disagreed with us, we would talk it out and get their opinions face to face and discuss issues and go politely go back and forth, say, yes, you're right, but how about this? Yes, you're right, but how about this? And we would come to some type of a camaraderie conclusion, maybe, or maybe we'd say we agree to disagree. But it was face to face communication, sit down, discuss. That is so humane, it ain't funny.
No more. No more.
We don't sit down and talk to anybody. We argue with people. We argue with people we don't even know. that are insignificant to us. We don't even know their names. Their names are Blowass 273. I mean, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. When I was a young child and I sat down and I read the paper, yes, I could read. I would read an article in the paper and it would report the news to me. And then I would sit back, and I had a thing back then called a brain. You're probably not familiar with this thing called the brain. It is very capable of processing information, and based on your experience, your environment, you come up with your own conclusions and your own reactions. Oh, it was heaven. Oh, it was heaven back then when you could use your mind. Now, when you read an article or go online and read about something, it's trailed by 200 to 300 comments from assholes. And they're always assholes. The people that comment on social media and online are always assholes. And if you do it, then you're the exception. You're not an asshole. But when I'm finished with this show, I will consider you still an asshole. I still have decency not to call you an asshole to your face because I respect you. But after that, you're an asshole. I'm serious. It's just awful. It's just awful. I remember something about that there was a traffic accident at an intersection. This particular intersection in Massachusetts had more accidents than any other. And it was a Boston Globe article, I believe. And then after that, there were comments from readers. And the first few comments were, "This is horrible. Something must be done about this. Intersection has been a problem. Many people have lost their lives." And the next person says, "More people have lost their lives because of the ill foreign policies of President Obama, who has ruined this country." And then it turned into a fuckfest of Obama and how horrible a president he is. And then people saying, "What are you, crazy? He's a wonderful president." And it had nothing to do with the Boston Globe article about a dangerous intersection with a lot of accidents. You people are driving me crazy. Do you understand what you're doing to me? You're driving me nuts. And if you're driving me nuts, I'm assuming somewhere else in this universe you're driving somebody else nuts too. Social media has done nothing but alienate us, made us argumentative. No hope for the future. Everything's horrible. Everything's dull. Everything's somebody's fault. And it leads me to make this comment here today: everybody's an asshole. Because when I was growing up, they were assholes, but I didn't have to know them. I didn't have to hear their comments. Well, Ron, you don't have to read the comments after the articles either. No, I don't. But if I want to get the news, I probably have to go to a CNN or something like that. And then somebody makes a speech or a news item occurs. And then I have to hear the opinions of all these political analysts and all these experts explaining to me what I'm supposed to think about in my head on my own anyway. They are telling me what they think and leaving me no time for me to formulate what I think. They are not news programs anymore. They are opinion and commentary stations. The only true news, I guess, are the local news stations, except for Fox. That's a little slanted. It's just sad. I think it's sad. It's just sad. We have been trained no longer to use our brains. When something happens, we first have to hear the comments of people and then see which one riles us up or which one we agree with more. And the comments are based on speculation and opinion and not facts or data. We make emotional reactions to everything that happens around us. And what it's lacking is us, is you, it's me, using our brains for something other than playing a game on a computer screen. We're not using our brains anymore. We're going to other places for answers. We're going to Google. We're going to Wikipedia. We're going to people's opinions, to pundits. And we're not using our brains at all anymore. Which comment, which person will rattle us the most emotionally? And rather than find some type of connection to those we agree with, we more readily find anger and discontent with people that we don't agree with. We set up targets, we set up enemies, we set up conflict. It's no way to live. You're supposed to set up connection, not distance and conflict. It's a sad social commentary. It really, really is. And you know I'm right, don't you? I know you know I'm right. I never got to the story. Here's the story. I was so fed up with Facebook, I couldn't take it anymore. I'm fed up with social media. I was speaking to a friend. I don't have many of them because of my situation of not liking most people. By the way, if you're a friend of mine and I like you, gold star on your head, man. You're a gold star family because I don't like a lot of people. And I have good reason. And if they don't like me, I don't care. I like this solitude because to walk amongst you is not a pleasure trip. It is not a pleasure trip for me. Unless you change your ways, put a smile on your face, and stop acting like such an asshole. Anyway, I had it with social media. And about 4 months ago, not even, I hired a marketing company to set up a Facebook page for me because I knew little about it. I have 4 or 5 personal Facebook pages. Ron, why do you have so many? Because I keep making them and then I find another one that's a better title and I can't get rid of the one I had because I've already got hundreds of friends on them, so I don't want to lose them. And I guess you can't combine 5 Facebook things together, so now I'm stuck. I'm still trying to figure that out. Between the 5 pages, I've got something like 3,000 to 4,000 different friends, quote-unquote friends. 3,000 to 4,000 people whom I don't know is what I should say. So I figured, why not do a Facebook thing? Ron, if you're going to do something like a national syndicated podcast thing, you should have a Facebook, a social media page for it. I said, oh, okay, why should I have one? And they said, I don't know. They never know the reason. They just think you should. They've been Facebook brainwashed. Now, of course, you can't wash the brain until you assume you have a brain to begin with, so that's questionable in itself. So I hire this marketing team, and at a cost of a little less than $200 a month, the idea was that they would reach out across the country and get people to like my Facebook page, which they created for me. So it included the price of putting the Facebook page together. It's a very nice Facebook page. It's excellent. But I kept saying to them through the entire process, why do I need to have a Facebook page? And they kept saying, because you should. Because that's what you do. Okay, but does it gain me more listeners of this program? Well, not necessarily, no. Well, then what's the point of the Facebook page? Because you're supposed to have one. But it doesn't do anything for me. I know, that's not the point. Well, yeah, kind of is the point. So yesterday I got pissed off because I went to the Facebook page and they're contacting up to 10,000 people a week to like my page. Of that, a percentage actually do like it. But then I realized, so what? So what? What does it matter if you like my Facebook page or not? Do you have time to sit down and listen to this show on a daily basis? Yes, wonderful. No, what the hell does that have to do with a Facebook page? This is a website. You can go to the website and listen to the programs. Why do I need a separate Facebook page? Ron, because you're supposed to. You have to. You have to have social... No, you don't. You haven't proven to me what the point of it is. So I've talked to a friend yesterday who's really into Facebook. And I said, you... What is this? I said, I'm going to get rid of my Facebook page. She says, no, no, you can't do that. You need a Facebook. You need social media presence. And I said, why? And she couldn't answer the question. She actually paused and she said, well, Ron, you know, I never thought of that. Everybody told me I should have one. Why? Well, I don't know. So I called up the people who are charging me this amount of money every month, and I told them to release me. Stop charging me, end my services immediately. Well, you would think that that would be, okay, fine, thank you, Mr. Van Dam. No, that was just the beginning. For the next 10 minutes, I am passed on to various supervisors, to cancellation departments. Mr. Van Dam, is there anything we can do to keep your business? And I said, well, do you have an attractive sister? For some reason, they didn't laugh at that. I thought it was quite kind of humorous and moist. Then they offered me 2 months of free Facebook service. If I stayed with them, I said, well, you can offer me the 2 free months, but I'm going to drop you after the 2 free months. So I'm being honest with you. No. I said, I kind of just want to end this right now for my own sanity and my own self-respect, let's just end our Facebook marketing relationship right now. Of course, I get to keep the Facebook page. I have to market it myself. And I'm told by just about everybody, Ron, this is you can do this yourself. You don't need to pay somebody to do this. I said, I probably can. But my anger for Facebook and social media disavows any of my actions, wants, or needs. So I canceled it. And after that, I felt a giant weight off my shoulders. I did. Not only a financial weight, as I was wasting all that money for virtually no response and nothing whatsoever, but what I did understand was I was free. Free of this odd concept, this social media cloud that was hanging over my head, a cloud filled with rain, pus, and disease. This umbrella of social media importance, which I never understood. I was a man wandering through the woods with no intent to find a destination, only to get fleas and ticks all over my body from walking through the woods. Yes, I felt that immediate release. I felt like they no longer have a hold on me. I am now my own person. I'm not owned by Zuckerberg. I am me. I can do what I want. I can do it, or I don't. But the choice is mine. No more automatic payments coming off of my credit card on a monthly basis. No, I walk free. I roam the earth with the wild animals now. But it's not survival. It's freedom. It's release. It's the ability to walk with my head held high, saying, I don't understand social media, and now I don't have to. Ladies and gentlemen, free yourself from the bind and the bonds of what you're supposed to do when you know it makes no sense. It has no redeeming value whatsoever. Cash it in. Release yourself. Be free.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Okay, we're going to speak to Brooke Parkhurst. We've spoken to her before. We're talking about, she's got a cookbook there. She's got kids. She's a mom. She's got kids. Got a cookbook. We've talked to her before, not long ago. This is new because it's time for kids to go back to school. And she's going to give us some ideas on stuff to shove in their lunch boxes, if not down their throats directly. And this show is sponsored by these people, so let's say hello.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Brooke, how are you?
I'm well, thanks for having me.
Pleasure being had. That didn't sound right.
Brooke, don't say that on air.
No. Brooke Parkhurst is an entertaining expert, cookbook author, and a busy mom. And you put them all together, and you got yourself some weekday meal problems because everything's moving so quickly, and yet you got to do it right. So let's start from the beginning. And by the way, I love talking about food. This is my favorite kind of interview. So thank you.
I think I've been on your show before because I do remember you loving talking about food.
Yes, that was me. And now I remember you agreeing that it is fun to talk about food. Okay.
let's talk about.
Okay. This is a common, I wouldn't call it a problem, but it's a common concern,
right?
Yeah, that mothers have with a moving family. And let's start with breakfast, okay? Let's start from the beginning of the day, do this chronologically, because that's tough, because school is starting up soon, and that's like, what do you put in a lunchbox that won't spoil, that's healthy, that's something that they're going to eat, that's quick enough to put in? That's a problem.
Yeah, you know, you want to start the day on a really high note and then end it on a really good note as well. Breakfast, I'm all about protein for my 7-year-old, mm-hmm. myself, and even for our little baby. I love eggs. Little egg mini muffin cups. You can make the night before kind of like a mini quiche, you know, and you can bake in vegetables as well, which is a sneaky way to get in some more greens.
Yeah.
And if it's not eggs, I love Greek yogurt. Really high in protein, low in sugar. You can add some fresh fruit to that. But I think, you know, you do want to go the low sugar, highest protein possible option, you know, for breakfast. And then you have the little ones, they're at school all day, running around, stretching their brains, and, you know, they get out of school, and they're grumpy. Then they go to their lessons, and they get even grumpier because their blood sugar is dropping. So it's really important for me every single night to serve a great dinner, serve it early as well, mm-hmm. so everyone can pick up their mood. And I have a very exacting 7-year-old. I've been talking about this with my friends. She wants something spectacular every single night, which can be a little bit difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I just discovered this brand, Lemongrass Kitchen, okay? So they have 6 entrees that, believe it or not, can be made in 10 minutes or less. We love, and Parker loves, their chicken pad thai, their beef and broccoli, a number of dishes that were created by Chef Mai Pham. So she brings the flavors of Southeast Asia into your home. Lucky me, I don't have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't have to call and order takeout, you know, because you never quite know what is in that. And with these, I know there's no added MSG, there are no artificial ingredients, just a really kind of healthful, delicious dinner. And then it's difficult on the other side because my husband, as you might know, he's a chef,
mm-hmm,
and
I
he's
do.
Italian,
I
or he's part Italian. So, yep, he really wants also delicious meals every night. He's on the go himself.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, in to save the day, Healthy Choice and their line of Healthy Choice Simply Cafe Steamers. So they have 4 new ones with all organic ingredients. Really kind of spot on, really trending dishes. Like right here in front of me right now, I have the 3 cheese tortellini. And so it's made with organic spinach, mushrooms, cheese, and served in a really hearty tomato sauce. The cool thing about that, too, is you pop it in the microwave. It's in a steaming basket. So that actually kind of locks in the freshness and flavor and also leaves you with a wonderful texture. So my Italian chef husband is definitely going to know good pasta, and he loves the Healthy Choice Simply Cafe steamers.
Okay.
So we have these two options. And then for the little ones, though, it's not just the meals. It's in between the meals, right?
Yes.
Their little bodies are burning through everything.
Important, because that's how you actually keep your weight in check, is to have the little snacks in between to keep the body burning, right?
Yes, and you know, once again, keep the blood sugar even.
Keep
their mood up. I just think it is difficult because it's so easy, and I do love them. It's easy to reach for a few chips or crackers, but you know, what are those doing to your body, or what are they doing for you? More like it. So now we just discovered Crispy Fruit Snacks by Crispy Green. They're delicious and helpful, and the super cool thing is it's freeze-dried fruit. So it's not dehydrated, or it's not one of those fruit products with a ton of added sugar. This is just 100% pure fruit in little mini individual-sized bags. So I pop it in my purse. I put it under the stroller with for the baby. I put it in Parker's backpack. And they tear into it, and it has that kind of crispy, light texture, kind of like a chip, you know? So it's very satisfying for them, and they don't say, okay, you know, where are the potatoes, where are the salty crackers that, you know, aren't doing anything for them. The other really cool initiative with them is Krispy Kreme is sponsoring Produce for Kids with their program, Power Your Lunchbox. So Power Your Lunchbox and poweryourlunchbox.com is just all about giving your kids the most healthful food all throughout the school year. And being mindful that this is the great alternative to packing those chips, to packing something that is really just filler and a lot of sodium.
Yep.
And then with these, you're getting them what's 100% fruit. You know, Parker loves the mango. So sometimes, it can be difficult to find mangoes. Well, Crispy Fruit Snacks, there's always going to be the freeze-dried mango or the delicious pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
It's not messy. Once again, she's happy. There are no meltdowns, which makes me happy. You know, it's just about keeping everyone happy and well-fed.
Well,
that's my goal this school year. Happy and well-fed children and husband.
It's a lot to ask for. But I guess you can.
It is a lot. You're right. I'm making it seem easy, but if I give you a little, hints and tricks, it can be easier. Right, Ron?
Yeah, the is important. And then eventually the goes away, and then you get your goal. So that goes pretty good. It's important to make everybody happy when they're eating, because eating is a happy thing, and it should be enjoyed and savored. And you have to cater to kids a little bit, right? I mean, they don't want necessarily the real good stuff. So this is a good way of getting them into enjoying foods and tastes and keeping it healthy, right?
And exposing them, to new flavors. I think, you just can't go for the chicken nuggets day in, day out, or they're going to demand that and never expand their palate or, try new vegetables. So the Lemongrass Kitchen is great. It is different having the scallion, having a certain spice in there, exposing Parker to that, and then it's fun watching them progress into being these wonderful little eaters.
Yes, and someday chefs.
And one day, maybe. No, I think I'd be a doctor instead. I want her to be a doctor.
How about a chef for a doctor's office? Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Chef doctor.
I'm a chef doctor. Like all the titles you have, my God. I think you're everything but a doctor here. Hey, I know. Let's talk about, you have a book out as well, right?
Yeah, well, my husband and I, we have, Just Married in Cooking, our cookbook.
Yeah.
We're working on a new one that's actually about the science of flavor pairing.
Mm-hmm.
So a little nerdy, but I promise you, Ron, super cool results. It's kind of pairing very disparate flavors you would never guess would go together, like chicken and strawberries. White chocolate and caviar, and it's based on the underlying chemical compounds, how many of these ingredients share, kind of can predict how wonderfully they will go together.
Interesting
so
stuff.
So that's really kind of going out there and, getting us to all explore, new flavors and new combinations.
Great. Give me a website where we can get some more information and refresh us.
Yeah, for these great tips and, you know, back-to-school meals, mm-hmm. you guys can check out betterstuffforlife.com. Mm-hmm. And then to follow me and my husband, you can go to thecoupleskitchen.com.
Everything you wanted to know about Brooke Parkhurst and her eating habits and
it's all there.
It's all there. It's all there. Hey, it's great to talk to you again. We'll do it again in the future.
Thank you, Ron. Enjoy your summer eating.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Brooke. That's how you follow Brooke and her husband, which is stalking, I believe. I think that's called stalking. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. Please join me again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.